turn to page number 106.
Thank you. Oh, what just a few days of weather will do for you. 73 or 4 degrees, and now it's a little cooler, and the wind's blowing, and feels like fall again, or maybe closer to winter. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's a good place to be in the house of the Lord to worship. We got a lot of folk that are traveling around. This time of the year is that time, I guess. A lot of traveling to and fro. We have a thank you card. It says, with special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do. It says, dear church, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are, thank you so very much. Love to all. You, LaVon. And so, Miss Eula's sweet lady, thank you for that. Okay. Got a few announcements. New pens are in back there. These are pretty nice. I like them. So grab some. Russell said for stocking stuffers or just to pass out, they got our name and website address and church address and stuff like that on them. Also, we have calendars, organizers. I don't know about y'all, but if I don't write stuff down, I forget where I'm supposed to be. And even sometimes with Cindy helping me along the way, I still forget where I'm supposed to be. But that'll help, so please pick you one up or more than one. Pass them out. Give them to your friends. That's what they're there for. Also, these are calendars are pretty dated items, so the longer you wait to give them out, the less valuable they are. So grab one and take it with you, or more than busy. So what's the date? Second?
Yes, sir.
Second? It's going to be busy month. So we got a lot going on. So if you have a bulletin, you might want to hang on to it, which we'll give you another one next week. But you might just want to take this and put it in your calendar, okay? It'll got a lot of stuff. Building fund offering this morning. So the second time that the plates passed around will be for the building fund. Now, if you come to business meetings, which we're going to have tonight, you'll notice that the building fund has been pretty busy this year. We've done a lot of stuff. There's some remodeling and new sound system. There's just a whole lot of stuff that we've done to make this place a lot more user-friendly, if you will, and also to be able to help us be able to share the word a little better on the internet. And some other things that are coming up we'd like to do, so keep that in mind when the plate's passed again. As I said, tonight's business meeting. Come to the business meeting, okay? This is God's business, and we do the best that we can to spend God's money in the proper manner, and we need all the help we can get there. Next Sunday, December the 9th, will be our Christmas dinner. Now, I hope y'all are hungry. Y'all may have to starve yourself every week because every weekend we've got food, okay? Boy, that's tough on an old fella that's trying to diet, you know that? Next Sunday will be our Christmas dinner. Starts at 4 o'clock, so plan on coming to that. And immediately after that, we're going to go over to where Brother Dean is. Boy, my words are not coming out very good this morning. And we're going to sing some carols to him, so plan on doing that as well, right after dinner. Boy, isn't that kind of backwards? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I can't sing hardly anyway, but after I eat a big meal, anyway, we might want to rethink that next time. Sing first, eat second. Wednesday night, December the 12th, youth party Christmas here, and also mine and Cindy's anniversary party, so plan on coming to that. The kids will have pizza for them and usually give them some Sonic gift cards and such as that. So come be a part of that. Then Sunday evening the 23rd, starting at 6 p.m., will be a Christmas piano concert by Brother David Harrison. And if you haven't heard Brother David, I encourage you to come and listen. He's a very talented boy. I look forward to it. Then December the 30th, again, we'll be singing in fellowship. Did y'all hear that? Let's see, eat, okay? So, I hope y'all are hungry. But the fellowship is what really makes it what it is. So plan on coming. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Miss Mandy. Miss Mandy is out of town, so if Georgia needs some help, she can just grab somebody to help her. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Miss Jerry Harrison. Any other announcements? I don't hardly know how we'd fit anything else in there. Okay. Now, Cindy and I had prior engagements for last night, so we didn't get to go to the Christmas concert with the group. Everybody said they had a good time. I'm sorry that we didn't get to go to that, but you can only fit so many events in 1 month. So thank you, Gene, for taking them and for everybody that's going. And Brother Paul Buck over there, he's a good fella. And Brother Donis. I've known them for several years, so we appreciate what they've done over there. Okay, anything else?
Page 168. Everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody out this morning. Weather's kind of cooled it down for us some. But anyway, I want to tell you, y'all missed a program last night. If you didn't go with us over to Mount Zion, it was a great program. And the music director over there is kind of fascinating, Brother Paul Buck. He did all of that on his own. It wasn't his music, but he put that whole thing together. It's not a cantata that you can just go out and buy and do. He put in a lot of time and a lot of work, and so did their choir, and they did a wonderful job last night. Y'all missed a blessing. We're going to do one for you this morning, an old time-tested, traditional Christmas carol. Joy to the World. Hope you enjoy it.
Joy to the world. And heaven and nature see, and heaven and hell and nature. wonders and wonders of His love.
Well, good morning. It looks a little fuller when the choir gets back there. Thankful for everyone that comes and takes part in the choir, and invite you to come and be a part of it. We have a good time practicing for these songs. I'm not sure how they come out, being that I'm in them. Before I got up here, they sounded pretty good. But we have a good time doing it. So I know Brother Gene would enjoy or appreciate any help that we might get. Well, we are moving right along in our series of Baptist Distinctives. This morning, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ, the ascension, and the bodily resurrection of the saints. One of my favorite subjects. And I love preaching this sermon. I've preached a version of this sermon several times over the years. But I hope I know about you, but I do know about me. I am looking so forward to Jesus coming back, because guess what? I'm going to get to spend eternity with Him, and I'm getting a new body. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. One that's not bound to all this stuff that we have in this world. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about the resurrection of the dead in some of our studies, and I told you that one of the sermons was coming up in our series was this, and guess what? It just so happened to be today. Isn't that amazing how God works that way? Now, before we get started or too far along, I'd like to say that if you're not coming to our Wednesday night Bible study, you're missing a blessing. And we have a good time here studying the Word of God. We're in the book of Acts, and I encourage you to come and join in. Okay, the Apostle Paul, in our studies, used the division of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to turn attention away from himself and to cause a division amongst those that were there seeking to have him killed over something that they could not agree on. And it was very simply this. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees do not. Back then, all the resurrection, or angels, or spirits, and you immediately segregated the group there, and they joined in two different basic groups, and they disagreed with each other vehemently, and there always was a contention and argument that ensued. It was really a lot like it is today. Isn't it? People haven't changed that much. Okay? Maybe over different things. Now, as I said, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the saved. I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe that Jesus is coming back for those of us who have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. The Sadducees did not. They didn't think there was ever going to be a resurrection. That rift also continues in religious sects today, if you will. There are people scattered throughout all religions, I dare say. I know on several that have a disagreement on a resurrection, a bodily resurrection. There are many out there who believe that when you die, that that's just the end of you. Boy, you know what? The Bible tells us that if we have hope in this life only, we are all men. I can't quote that exactly. Most miserable. Thank you. Isn't that true? If this is all we've got to look forward to, we don't have much to look forward to, do we? Now, we Baptists believe, or at least most of us, okay, let me be clear, some Baptists don't. I don't call them Baptists, but that's what they call themselves. All right? We believe that when you die, it's not the end of you, it's just the beginning. Amen? Now, if you've heard me preach very much at all, you've heard me say that Jesus gave His life there on that old cross at Calvary for me and for you. And He hung there between heaven and earth and took on the sin of all mankind, all men, women, and children, so that we could be saved. And that's the greatest gift that anyone could ever have. Saved from the penalty of sin. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so that's what we all deserve because we're all sinners. Okay? The Bible says that we have all come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. Okay, so if you're sitting back there thinking that you're better than the rest of us, I got news for you. You might be in some ways, but you're not sinless. We all are. Okay. The one that paid that price, by the way, his name's Jesus, and he's the only begotten Son of God. And because of what he did, we are able to live in the presence of God forever. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what he did for us there on the cross. But listen to me for a second. He did something for us there that was even more significant than that. Now, y'all looking at me funny, but listen, bear me out. There's something that happened during this time to me that even means more than the cross. Yes, without the cross, we have no hope. Okay? But without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we couldn't look forward to a resurrection of us. But if he hadn't have been raised from the dead, everything that he had done to that point would have been null and void. Have you ever thought about that? They hung Jesus on the cross. Yes, he was the perfect sacrifice. He freely gave himself. But when they put him in the grave, if he hadn't come forth from that grave, Satan would have won. But he didn't. He didn't win because Jesus did. You know, I believe that when Jesus' body was in that tomb, and that big old rock was rolled across that the face of it, and it was sealed, and there was a guard placed there, that Satan and all of his demons were surrounding that thing, doing the best that they could to keep Jesus in the ground. But they couldn't do it because they were dealing with God, and God's all-powerful. Jesus came forth from the grave victorious. He was victorious over death. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. He came forth. And this is very, very important to us because, think about this, if he could raise himself from the dead, he don't have any problem raising me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Matthew chapter 28. We'll also be reading I've lost my place again. I'm really good at that. 1 Corinthians 15, when we get to there. Matthew 28:1. I love these. We're coming upon the Christmas season, and we're going to talk about the virgin birth of Christ as we move forward in our series, but I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead because of what he done there, we have hope of a brighter, better day. Matthew 28, verse 1, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Oh, that's them guards, remember? And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, I want you to get this in your mind just a little bit before we move on. Jesus Christ was hung there on that cross, the most brutal death that anyone could ever face. There's never been a crueler death invented by man than the cross. And he hung there already having been beaten and tortured And they, whenever he gave up the ghost, remember, they didn't kill him. He freely gave himself. He gave up his life. And they took him down and they placed him in this borrowed tomb. And they put this big stone in front of it and they sealed it. And they placed a guard there because the Jews were afraid that his followers would come and get him. Let me tell you something. No amount of guards, Satan or anybody else, was going to keep Jesus in that grave because he's the Son of God, and he had told them that three days, I'm going to rebuild the temple. They didn't understand it. Look what he did. The angel there was sitting on that stone after that earthquake had been rolled back, and he was white as snow, and he was bright and shining. And he had a message for the two Marys. I know you're coming here to see Jesus, whom you love, but I got a message for you. He's not here. He's risen, just like he said he would. And here's what he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and look. Come and look. Be witness. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen. And tell them where he can see it, where he can be seen. Now, as they looked into the sepulcher, it was empty, except for the grave clothes and the napkins that covered his face. Now, you can read that account if you would like over in John chapter 20. But this napkin is very important, okay? Because it was folded neatly and placed there. And the reason that's important is because it goes all the way back to the Jewish customs. When they were eating a meal, if they just got up and placed their napkin without folding it neatly, that meant they were finished. But if they got up from the table for whatever reason, they folded their napkin, they laid it there, that was a signal that they weren't finished eating, they were coming back. Let me tell you something. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He is very, very oriented to the details. But Jesus was coming back. We can look back on all these signs and see that Jesus left us every sign possible to show us that he's coming back. I submit to you this morning, there is no doubt in my mind that one of these days Jesus is coming back. Amen. The death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. And he is coming back to get us. Now listen, they saw the empty tomb, the folded napkin. It meant something to them. And I've told you many, many times that we study God's Word one word at a time because God doesn't waste words. The folded napkin should be important to us as it was to them. It was another sign that he's coming back. It should mean that Jesus is not finished. He's not. He's still got a lot of work to do. Well, guess what? He's coming back to get us, but he's got a lot of work to do before then because people are still being saved. Amen. Over 2,000 years later, Jesus is still working and saving people from their sinful ways. Jesus is not finished. He's still in the business of saving souls. You know, we look around at the condition of the world today and we see all these things that are going on. It's contrary to God's word. But listen to me, friend. Look for the bright spots, because people are still coming to an understanding of who Jesus is, and he's still saving their souls. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift that keeps giving. Jesus walked this earth for 40 days after he was raised from the dead. He was seen of many people, upwards of 500 at one time. Let me tell you something, friend. There is no doubt that Jesus is alive today. We have eyewitness account after eyewitness account of Jesus walking this earth after he was raised from the dead. Then it was time for him to ascend up to heaven. And by the way, that's where he abides now. Jesus is in heaven. There's witnesses of that. Whenever Jesus was carried up into the clouds to be with God Almighty there in heaven until his return when he comes and gets us. He's sitting on the right hand of God right now as our intercessor. So when we pray to God through the power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is sitting on the right hand, which is, by the way, the hand of power throughout this hour. He is. And read Matthew 28. It says, all power is given me. Jesus has the power God has given him. So many signs, so many instances in God's holy word. Listen to me, friend. Jesus is coming back. But I want you to know this as well. One of these days, we will all stand before Jesus in judgment. Now, we talked last week about the blood of Jesus. And if you were covered by that blood, you will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to see whether you're lost or saved. That's already determined when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And after that, when Jesus comes back, you're going to get your glorified body. Now, if you're not at that judgment, if you don't have your glorified body, then you have another appointment with Jesus. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And as bad as I hate to tell you this, it's the truth from God's Word. If you're at that judgment, your destiny is already sealed. Those at the judgment seat of, at the Great White Throne of judgment will be cast ultimately into the lake of fire and brimstone. And oh, by the way, that's the eternal resting place of Satan and all of his cohorts. And every man, woman, and child that has rejected Jesus Christ. You don't want to be there. Thank God I don't have to be there. That eternal hell. Now, we know we've talked about this many times over the years, but this old sinful body that we inhabit right now cannot be in the presence of God, because God is so righteous, he cannot be in the presence of sin. So, he can't be there. So, there's only one way that we can get to be where God is, and that is that we have to be changed. Praise the Lord. We got to be changed to spend eternity with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love these scriptures. I wish everybody could hear the blessed hope and assurance that we have through God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 42. Also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, I want you to think about that, and we're going to read some more here, but I want you to just think about that. Okay. This old body is corrupt because it's infested with the sin nature. In the grave, sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption, perfect, sinless body. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. This is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Listen to me, friend. This is a natural body born of woman, filled with sin, weak, unable to be in the presence of God. But I'm getting a spiritual body one of these days, because Jesus is going to come back and give it to me. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much to thank him for. And so it is written, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. God is an orderly God. You have to do things in order. This body has to be born a fleshly body before it can be born a spiritual body. Get it? 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, I want to stop there for a second. I'm going to read some more, but listen to me. I wish I could have seen Jesus' spiritual body. You know, when he was walking this earth, they didn't recognize him right off until they knew who he was, and then they did. But he could walk with them. He has some type of perfect spiritual body that is similar to what we have, but doesn't have any of the bad stuff that we've got. Our desires, our thoughts, our illnesses, our weaknesses. Can you imagine that? You know, and when I was studying for that, my eyes were open to how much in the Bible is really about heaven. Listen to me, I think that whenever we get to eternity and we have a new heaven and a new earth and we have this new body, that the things that we're limited to here on this earth are going to be done away with. We're going to get to enjoy the whole of God's creation with Him forever. Amen. In this new body. This old body we got now can't do that. But my new body's going to be able to. Thank you again, Jesus. We have to bear the image of the earthy, the sinful, before we can bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to be like Jesus when we get that new body. Now this I say, brethren, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen to me, I believe that it's very possible that many of us that are in this building and hearing this sermon preached this morning might see Jesus come back before this old body dies. And if you're that fortunate, when he comes back in the air, you're going to get a new body too. In verse 52, in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on, this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal shall put must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Jesus. You see, when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't have anything to fear. Look at verse 56. The sting of death. Oh, wait a minute, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You ever wonder why we're still here? We still got saved. Our labor's not in vain. This old wicked world just keeps getting worse and worse. But listen to me, friend. We got a lot of work that needs to be done before Jesus comes back. Well, I've been asked this question before. Well, preacher, when are we getting this new body? Well, you know what? I don't have a date for you, but I know it's coming. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to get it when He comes back. And you're not getting it 1 minute before then. And so all I know to tell you is to make the best of what you have here on this earth until Jesus comes back and you get it. My question to you is, do you have your ticket? Are you covered by the blood? Your ticket is the blood of Jesus Christ, and it covers all sin. As I was preparing this sermon this morning, I was thinking about my dad. I was very blessed to have a wonderful dad, good Christian man. He taught me a lot about life and love and Jesus. Oh, by the way, those all go together, do they not? My first public speaking appearance was at his funeral. My dad and I were very close, very close. We did lots of stuff together. Ever since I can remember, we were together doing something, working, playing, whatever it was. So it was, in one sense of the word, a sad day to lose one of my best friends. But it was also easy because I don't have any doubt where he's at. He's already in heaven. He buried his physical body. If I don't die before Jesus comes back, he's going to get his new glorified body just a nanosecond before I do. And if I die before Jesus comes back, I'm going to get my new glorified body at the same time that he does. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what about you? Are you getting one? A glorified body like Christ? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're getting that new body that will spend eternity in the presence of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. We use the scriptures a lot in preaching funeral services and stuff. I find them very reassuring in just everyday reading and knowledge. Thanks, Bible. And if you don't write in your Bible, well, go ahead and write. It's okay. If you look at mine, you'll see it's got all kinds of markings in it. But you see, it's the Word of God to us. Verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Everybody in this room has lost someone you love dearly. If they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before they passed away, and you're still alive when Jesus comes back, they're going to beat you to that new body just for a moment. Have you ever seen somebody's eyes twinkle? It's pretty fast, folks. I'm not going to be far behind. Amen. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folk, when Jesus comes back and we get our glorified body, we will never be separated from God again. We're going to be rid of this old sin nature that we have. All the problems in this life are going to be gone because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and because of what he's going to do for us when he comes back to get us. Comfort yourself, one another, with these words. Listen to me. It don't matter what we're going through in this life, better days are coming if you know Jesus. I want you to know that I believe wholeheartedly, and it's another sermon we're going to preach in this series, but I believe from the very depths of my soul, and the more that I study, the more that I believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing or no one or no circumstance can ever take that from you. What a blessed hope, a blessed assurance that is for us, because it lasts forever. Yeah, this old life goes on, and it's not always easy. But when you're in a rough patch, all you have to do is look to Jesus, and look to when he comes back and know that what little bit of suffering and hardships that goes on in this life is nothing in comparison with eternity in the presence of God with a glorified, sinless body that never dies, never gets sick, has no problems. Amen? I believe that those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior will get this new body before the tribulation period starts. Yes, I am a pre-trib rapture fella. And the more I study it, the more I believe it. Because the wrath of God is not meant for those who have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus made all this easy for us. Do you not see it? It's easy because of what Jesus done. You don't have to come with an animal, an innocent animal, and shed its blood for the remission of your sins today like they had to do in the Old Testament because Jesus did it for us. One time for all time. All you have to do is accept what he did. Because the law was never meant to save anyone. It was just a picture of what Jesus was going to do for us on that cross. And he did it. But guess what? He not only shed that innocent blood, he raised from the dead. And that's such a promise to us. Because he's coming back to get us. You don't have to live this life above sin. You can't. You don't have to be perfect in this life. You cannot be perfect. But you can claim the blood. And by claiming the blood of Jesus, you're going to get a perfect body one of these days that can live without sin. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you hear what he's saying? If you do it, you will be saved. If you call on Jesus, if you believe on him, he's coming back, folks. He's coming back. And I can't think of anything that makes me happier than that. Jesus saved my soul when I came to him, forgave me of my sins. His blood covers me. And he's coming back for me. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. I got a question for you this morning. Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? Have you? Well, I believe that Jesus was born. That's not good enough. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's not good enough. Well, what else are you supposed to do, preacher? You're supposed to trust him. Believe on him. When he said, he may be also, and I'm coming again to get you. Believe him. He's coming. Ask him. Call upon his name. You have to have faith. Ephesians tells us very plainly that we're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're a born-again believer this morning, you are born again because of the grace of God. He didn't have to send his son Jesus, but he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. You can have the assurance. You can know. I know that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. And I know that if Jesus comes back before I die, I'm still getting that new body and I'm going to spend eternity with him because of what he did for me on the cross, but also because of what he did for me when he came forth from that old grave. Jesus is alive. He lives today. That's you. Do you know that you're going to get a glorified body one day? I do. And if you don't, you can too. You can know in here that Jesus saves completely. Because guess what? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, a part of God, the Holy Spirit, moves in here and takes up residence, and you are a different person. I didn't say sinless, but I did say different. Listen, your desires change. Your conscience changes. And yes, this old life is still a battle. This old life is still one day at a time. The Bible tells us take up our cross daily. Follow Jesus. But when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know the ultimate end is the new body in eternity in heaven. Do you know? If you don't, you can. You can know. Jesus saves completely. The Holy Spirit leads us to that understanding. Thanks for that. It's still just as fresh and vivid in my mind as the day that I accepted Jesus Christ. I never will forget it. How about you? Can you go back, even after all these years, to your salvation experience? If you can't, you might ought to get on your knees and do some soul searching, because it'll change your life forever. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. If you would, stand with me for a word of prayer. As we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful, so thankful for your word that tells us that Jesus Christ was not only slain on that cross and that he shed his blood for the sins of all mankind, but I'm so thankful, Lord, that you included in there the details of his resurrection, his coming forth. And because of that, Lord, we have a hope, that blessed assurance that Jesus lives and that he's coming back for us one of these days. Lord, we're ready. Those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, ready. This old world's getting terrible. It's a terrible place to be, but it's still not as bad as hell. I pray, Lord, for those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that the Spirit would convict, and that he would draw them, and that they couldn't sit where they're at without calling upon the name of Jesus and being saved. Thank you for that blessed assurance. Lord, we're looking so forward to getting our glorified body so that we can be in your presence. Lord, your magnificence, what little bit of it we can understand, is wonderful. Can't wait to see you in person. I thank you for what Jesus done. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every soul and heart here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah. 185.
Hear that little voice calling? Singing this old song, I can't help but have this picture in my mind of Jesus sitting there knocking at the door of your heart, saying, come home. I'm here. I'm waiting on you with open arms. All you have to do is accept me. I've already done all the work. I've already done it all. And when you do, I got other things for you that are greater than anything that this life has to offer. He's standing there waiting and watching just for you to take that first step. You know, I've told the story many times, but whenever I got saved, I was scared to death. I was scared that if I died, I was going to hell. I knew I was. But I was also scared to take that first step because, you know what? People were looking. People were going to see me. But when I took that first step, I can't remember the rest of that walk down to the front. Because, see, Jesus is waiting and watching. All that's required of us is the acceptance and that first step. And He'll bring us the rest of the way home. He's standing there knocking at the door. Let me in. Let me in. I'll carry you home. As we sing another verse, I love these old songs. The message in them is so great. God inspired the writing of these songs. Listen to the message.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is leading? Leading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not His mercies? Mercies for you and for me.
I get weary of all the stuff that's going on in this world. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, if you just turn on the news and look at what all's going on in this world, it'll just make you tired and just sick at all the things that are going on in America. I'm ready for Jesus to come back, but evidently He's not ready for me yet. And so I just hope and pray that God would open the door to some soul that I might be able to tell them about Jesus before it's eternally too late. Because I don't tell you, I believe that there will be people saved during the tribulation period, but the time it's easy to be saved like it is right now, it's going to be over. It's not going to be easy anymore after this when Jesus comes back and he gets His church and He takes us up to be with Him. Folk, if you know somebody that needs to be in church that don't know Jesus, you better get to inviting them. You better get to witnessing to them. Time is short. Read the scripture. Jesus could come back at any time. We got a lot of work to do. I see a lot of empty seats. We got a lot of work to do. I see a lot of empty seats. Guess what that means? We got a lot of work to do. We can do it. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He does the heavy lifting. All we have to do is carry Him. Carry that little spirit with us. Introduce Him to somebody. Pretty simple, isn't it, Sam? All right, I hope you have a good evening.